Welcome to the Turkey Hunter Podcast, the original all turkey, all the time podcast with your co-hosts Andy Galliano and Cameron Weddington.
In our weekly podcast, we're going to bring you some wild turkey calling tips like this.
From there, we're going to go into she's aggravated. There's another hen that's challenged her, or she's challenging another hen. She's going to cut an excited yelp.
Advice from old pro turkey hunters like this.
The turkeys typically don't like, I think, more times than not, to travel in an easterly direction into the sun first thing in the morning, especially after he gets up. It's a blinding thing. It's just like you. It's hard for you to see into the sun. Mm-hmm. So if I have a choice, I'm going to try to make it so that I'm going to be on the west side in the morning, east side in the afternoon of a turkey.
Exciting live hunts like this.
Holy crap, they're coming. Holy cow.
Then we're going to teach you how to cook your bird with advice such as this.
With some fresh rosemary and garlic, and then cool that off and spread that along the inside of that butterflied turkey breast that we've seasoned on both sides.
Wildlife management tips for your property, especially with turkeys like this.
If you look at the type of habitats that turkeys need for nesting and brooding, that tends to be habitat that can be managed more successfully with growing season fire than with dormant season fire.
And hopefully along the way, we'll get plenty of these.
Well, on November the 28th of 1953, I was hatched. When I popped out of my mom and the baby doctor spanked me on the bottom, I went, oh, and I've been doing it ever since.
I like that.
Thank you for tuning in, and now for this week's show.
Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Turkey Hunter Podcast. You are listening to episode number 480, Turkey Talk with Mark Prudham. And I am your co-host and the guy who just got back from a non-gun-toting turkey hunting trip.
And I'm your co-host and the guy who got incredibly humbled on that same trip with a gun.
Yeah, that was a tough go right there.
That was a tough go. Baseball season has started. St. Louis Cardinals are playing pretty subpar again this year. But to use a baseball analogy, I drove to the state, met up with y'all, and I stepped in the batter's box to see if I was going to hit or not, hit or strike out. And the pitcher never showed up to the game and never threw a pitch. So we don't know whether I would have hit or struck out because he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those deals where, you know, you don't come home and think, oh, I really messed up. I really, you know, should have done this, should have done that. It's kind of like I never had a chance.
Yeah.
So we did four. We even had a scout day in there and then spent three days, and I hunted pretty hard. I think I covered 25.3 miles on the ground, not including truck tire time, and never once got to call to a wild turkey that I knew was there, at least.
Yeah, and there just was not a whole lot of turkey talk going on. I think I was about the only one that heard a turkey gobble the whole time, and I was not even one who was hunting.
Yeah, apparently, you know, it was just a tough hunt. It was the first place I have been that was like that. I tried to rack my brain on if I've ever been to a, you know, state or a place, and I've been to some places even with pretty bad weather, you know, for my 2 or 3 day, 4 day trip, and I couldn't remember one where I had that little zero interaction with turkeys hunting hard for 4 days.
Yeah.
So it was pretty brutal. It was no bueno, but you know, before I left, when I was walking out, I said, thank you, Lord, for a safe trip, not getting bit by a snake out here in the middle of nowhere, and for two legs that can walk me around and ears that can hear, and just grateful to get to do it. It was tough, but no point in being negative about it. Still a lot of positive things in life to look at.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So, but yeah, man, it was fun seeing you. I'll say that much. And we had some good times. We watched Alabama playing in the Final Four, which was a great game. Didn't go y'all's way, but it was a pretty tough matchup with UConn. And we had a fun time in camp nonetheless.
Yes, indeed. You know, I don't think that was too bad of a showing for a basketball school like Alabama.
It was pretty good stuff. First basketball game I've watched in a long time, but they held in there with them. They've definitely made it interesting.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, good deal. We both have trips coming up. We're going to be hitting the road again, but we've got Mark Prudhomme. We pre-recorded this a couple weeks ago, and so we'll be sharing his interview with you guys this week, and it's another great one. We've had Mark on the show a couple times. We've done some seminars of his from NWTF or at Unicoi, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. He's won every call competition known to man for most animal sounds, and he's just the man. He's one of these really cool individuals who turkey hunts.
Yeah, he is, an all-around great guy. I mean, just very humble, very soft-spoken, just a really good guy.
Well, let's hop in there. Before we do, I'll remind everybody we've got turkey calls for sale on the website. We got a Batwing Ghost Cut and a Combo Cut available right now that will be linked in the show notes. And we also have some merchandise available at the show notes. And we appreciate all of our Patreon members, which is a growing group. And thank you all for joining. You know, just this week we have Mike JD, Anthony McDaniel, Colin Potter, Wade, Justin Mettler, Andrew Mills, Joshua Curtis, Brandon Bird. These are guys who have joined recently. Thank you for joining Patreon. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of that, while you and I were on this trip, we actually took part of our scouting day and did a little, I'd say we went on a educational field trip. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, we got hooked up. There's a very large study going on in the area where we were, and we got hooked up with two of the students who are heading up a study down there. And man, we had a time. That was so much fun. We got to track backpack GPS turkeys. We got to see where a nesting hen was who was already incubating. We got to see how that plats out on the map once they put the data in. We got to look at like how these hens would just, there was one hen that, you know, hanging around this little area, and then just boom, she's gone like 15 miles north. And it was just fascinating. We got to see the gobble audio boxes with the microphones that they have out in the trees. And anyway, we were with them for what, 4 hours?
Yeah.
And you recorded the whole thing.
I recorded the whole thing.
And we will be putting that in Patreon for our Patreon members, because it is fascinating. I mean, these two, I guess, biologist students are a wealth of knowledge on the wild turkey, because that's literally what they're doing every day.
Yeah.
All day is studying turkeys. And so we asked them a bunch of questions. They had a bunch of answers, and Andy recorded the whole thing. So we'll be posting that in our Patreon for our Patreon only members. If you want to join Patreon, that link's available too in the show notes, and we would greatly appreciate it. You're going to get extra audio. You know, we have a chat room in there. When we have guests, you know, a lot of our guests are pre-recorded. When we get back to having newer guests on, we'll be posting in Patreon, and you can ask questions of those guests, and you get discount for our store. So you get a lot of perks being a Patreon member. We appreciate you doing that. It's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have more cool stuff to come with that. So
no doubt, especially as it grows. So appreciate you guys have joined. Appreciate you who are about to join after that. And we look forward to sharing that audio with y'all in Patreon. It's pretty sweet. But for now, let's hop in here and talk to Mark Prudhomme.
Let's do it.
See y'all on the other side.
Hey, everybody. Cameron and I are glad to tell you we have on the phone with us today Mark Prudhomme, who I'm just going to say has won every type of calling contest there has ever been, even though that you probably would tell me that's not true. It's not far from the truth, if it's not true. So today we have tricked Mark into joining us, and I think we're just going to talk about wild turkeys. How does that sound?
That's good. That's about the only thing I know anything about. So,
well, hopefully you can teach me, then I can know something.
Well, I don't know much, so it won't take long.
All right. Maybe the shortest interview we've ever had.
Yeah, there you go.
So I know you don't know the number of contests, but and we talked about this on one of the previous episodes we had you on, but which types of calling have you won the calling championships for? Owl hooting? What else?
Well, yeah, I won the South Carolina State in turkey, owl, duck, and goose. So those are the state championships that I won. And then and also duck champion of champions. So those are the state things. But I've competed and won elk calling contests, deer, all kind of predator, all kind of different contests throughout all the years I've been calling. But, you know, just making a bunch of noise and having fun.
That's one way to put it, for sure.
Did I see a post on social media from you that said, finally fulfilled one of my life's dreams and got to call on the Grand National Calling Championship stage, and you were holding a diaphragm call?
Oh, the Grand Ole Opry.
The Grand Ole Opry, because I was sitting here going, wait a minute, Hal.
So every year, Rob Keck is taken in the last 2 years. He used to do it a long time ago, and he kind of brought it back. But Rob Keck has taken the winner of the Grand Nationals in the senior division on stage at the Grand Ole Opry, and it went back. I think Paul Butsky was the first one that he took up there, and I think like Porter Wagner introduced him, and it was, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Rob had done that for many years, and then that kind of went away. And then Rob kind of, you know, Rob's been helping us with the contest and Hall of Fame and different things like that. And he's, you know, got us back going to the Opry. And last year, you know, we took Matt Van Sice, who won last year, and we went to the Opry. And I got to go backstage, and Van Sice got to go on. This year, Keck says, I'm going to get you to come out and, you know, do some calling and gobbling. And, you know, and then we're going to introduce Matt. So that's kind of what we did. And it was a chance of a lifetime. I mean, I've always been a country music fan, and to go backstage is amazing, just to go back there and see all those people back there and talk to them and stand back there and watch the show from the side. But to get to walk out there on the stage in front of all those people and actually call, you know, it was pretty awesome, I have to say. And, you know, Matt and I and Rob did a little bit of calling, and they ate it up. Of course, a lot of the people at the Opry were, you know, turkey people that were at the convention and went over there and, you know, that kind of thing. So it was really neat, and I hope we get to do it again. Whoever wins again next year, maybe Rob and I can take them back up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Matt will be ready to go.
It seems like he's pretty hard to beat, and he seems like he's the man. Yeah, he doesn't make any mistakes, and he comes with his A game. You know, probably as far as turkey goes, he's I think probably the greatest turkey caller of all time, and
wow.
You know, he deserves that title because you know, he's the man. So
yeah. Well, and like most competitions, he's caused all the other competitors to have to up their game, and they have
you know, even since I've been coming to the to Nashville and watching the Grand Nationals, which has been about 9 years that I've been coming, 8 or 9 years that I've been watching the actual calling contest, I have seen the level of competition just improve dramatically. And, you know, he's a big reason for that, no doubt.
You know, I've always said that competition will make you better. It makes you get more creative. It makes you practice. It drives, you know, everything perfection. So, and it's, you know, there's always been somebody that raised the bar, you know, back Walter Parrott and, yeah, and, those guys during their time, you know, they were at the top. But it used to be where if you didn't make a mistake and you sounded pretty good, you know, you had a good shot at it. But now it is really a stacked field, and it's tough. And somebody like Matt, who spends so much time working on what he does. And I've always believed that, you know, you work hard and it pays off. And he definitely has put his time in, and he puts a lot of effort into his calling. He listens to turkeys, and, you know, he probably is getting ready for next year right now. And, that's what it takes if you're going to stay on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Judging by my conversation with Matt, I think he's probably getting ready for about May 1st up there in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. He gets after them turkeys now. That's for sure. He don't give them much of a break.
That's
he
right.
And I got to hunt together down in Georgia on the KT team hunt year before last, I guess. And, we had a good time. We called back and forth, and it was pretty cool to hear his calling in the woods. And of course I gave him some trumpet stuff and some tube call stuff. So I wasn't going to pull my diaphragm off with him sitting there
Well, I will guarantee you, if I get the opportunity to hunt with him or you, I'm not taking any calls. So, you know, if y'all happen to look at me and say, it's your turn to try, I'm just going to sit there and throw my hands up in there and be like, I don't have anything.
Hey, I'm taking everything I have, because just in case, in the off chance, I do something and he gobbles and one of them calls and he doesn't, I'm telling my grandkids about it, you know. I mean, that's it.
Hey, that's happened before.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I had it happen. I'll tell this real quick. I can't remember if I've ever told this story on the show or not, but I was hunting with a couple of guys from Georgia. They come to Alabama, were hunting with me, and they're pretty good turkey callers. And we're hunting my hunting club property, walking through, just walking and calling. And it was probably 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And one of the guys got his diaphragm call in his mouth, and he calls and nothing. The other guy pulls out a slate call and he calls and nothing. And they both looked at me, and one of them said, all right, it's your turn. And I said, hey, listen, y'all don't tell anybody this, but I'm about to pull out my secret weapon. It never fails. It makes them gobble every single time.
Oh, no.
My vest pocket. And I pull out this pot and peg call that obviously I loved the caller would not be with me. But I pulled the call out, and I got the striker, and I pulled up my left sleeve a little bit, pulled up my right sleeve a little bit, and I kind of like shook my hands to kind of loosen them out a little bit. And I held that call up, and I was bringing the striker towards the pot and peg, or the pot call, and a turkey gobbled. And I put that, I never even made a sound, Mark, and I put that call back in my vest, and I looked over at them, and they just shook their heads. They were like, I don't know what kind of call it is, but I got to get one.
Yeah, whoever made that call sold a bunch that day.
Oh, but that turkey's sitting over there, you know, 300-400 yards away, heard them call and hadn't heard them for a while. And, you know, that was one of those, hey, where are you gobbles? But I got credit for it.
Absolutely.
Well, I remember a hunt one time. I was hunting with the Turkey Federation. We were filming. Brian Godfrey was filming. And, you know, back in those days, I said, man, if he don't come to my diaphragm call, and, you know, I'm just not even going to fool with him. And we sat down to a turkey, and that turkey gobbled at everything except me. And it got daylight good. And I called and I gave him everything I had, and he gobbled at a crow. He gobbled at an owl. Nothing. And every time I'd call, I would get nothing. Finally, you know, Godfrey pulls out this aluminum call that had been rattling around in his vest for years. And he hit that thing one time, and that turkey flew straight down and came running to us. So, and he never let me forget that.
I bet he didn't.
You know, that's how it is, you know. I mean, some turkeys want to hear a certain thing, but.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, you know, I just want to get your take on this, but I have noticed over the years, and I've said woodsmanship, I've always said woodsmanship has killed more turkeys than calling, but I'm starting to, I don't know necessarily change that, but lean a little bit more towards calling will get you a long, long way. It won't bring a dead turkey to the table necessarily, because you're not going to kill one with a call. But how much, well, first of all, do you believe that turkey hunting has gotten harder because the turkey hunters have gotten better, number one? And if so, then number two, how much more important do you think calling is today than it has been in the past?
Well, I believe that woodsmanship still kills turkeys. I believe that knowing where you are, knowing the turkey and what he wants to do, and being in the right place means as much as anything, because if you're in the wrong place, you're not going to call him. I don't care how good you call. If you're in the wrong place, he's not coming there. If it's a place where, you know, he's had a bad experience or he just don't want to go that way, you're not going to call him. And there again, I've been in the right place and not even had to call. So I do believe woodsmanship is probably one of the most important things. But when you combine really good calling and woodsmanship, you know, that tilts it in your favor a good bit. Calling has definitely improved because calls have improved. You know, the materials that they make calls out of now are so much better. You got different sounds, you know, used to be slate, and now you got glass and aluminum and titanium and all these different surfaces, and all of those are different turkeys. And I think that you just tripping the trigger on a bird that wants to hear a certain thing. And I think hunters have gotten better too, because there's so much more information out there. They can learn a lot more than we could. You know, back when I was learning, I mean, I stumbled around and had to figure it out on my own because nobody would tell you, and there wasn't any YouTube or anything like that. And we just had to kind of figure it out. But now it just seems like people have shortened the learning curve, and they're better callers and better hunters, you know, right off the bat. And that makes a big difference. And of course, you know, I'm not a big decoy guy, but decoys have gotten so realistic that, you know, they're indistinguishable from a real turkey just about. So there's so many things that have helped people, you know, stack the odds in their favor at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Definitely.
With
you. Yeah. Well, we have a Patreon set up where we give some of our listeners the inside scoop as to who we're about to interview. And we asked them to send us some questions to ask you, Mark. So if you don't mind, I'd like to run through some questions with you from our Patreon guys and see what your answers would be.
Well, I'll do my best.
We're going to start with Connor Shaw asks, he wants to know the story of the first turkey you killed with a trumpet. Andy and I discussed that we think that means called in with a trumpet, not killed with a literal trumpet, as that would have probably been pretty difficult. But
but if you know, we kill one with a trumpet, I want to hear that story too.
Yeah, if you've shanked one to death with a trumpet, we would like to hear that as well. Or, you know, we thought maybe a blowgun with the trumpet call in it would work pretty good.
Well, I'm not going to say I haven't ever thrown one at a turkey, but didn't make contact. But, you know, I tell you, you know, I remember the first time that I called to a turkey with a trumpet, and I think I might have finished that turkey with a diaphragm, so I wouldn't really count that. But I'm not really sure I remember. It's been a long time ago, but I'm not really sure I remember the first turkey I called to the gun. You know, a lot of people used to and still do use a trumpet as a locator, and then, you know, finish them on whatever else. It's hard to finish a turkey with a trumpet because you got that movement, you know, and I've tried to minimize that movement and figure out how to, you know, do that. But gosh, I don't remember the exact bird that I called to the gun with a trumpet.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I could get that for sure. It's been a few of them. I'm confident of that. Well, you just kind of hit on this, and this may be your answer. Chase Snyder asked what your favorite call for locating Eastern wild turkeys would be.
Well, you know, these days I only carry a tube call and a trumpet, and there's days where maybe those two don't get it done, but I, you know, I'm still sticking with that. But I would say if I had to locate a bird, and you know, it's probably going to be the tube call.
So the tube over the trumpet.
Yeah. I'm going to run the trumpet first. You know, tube call for me is kind of my secondary go-to, but I'm going to probably run the trumpet. But if he doesn't gobble at it, I'm going to the tube. It's just so much more, it's louder, and it just gives you a little bit more excitement, you know, with the cutting and all that kind of stuff. I've had them, you know, fire off at that when nothing else worked. So, yeah, I'm going to say tube call for that.
Yeah, and you can crank down a Canadian goose on that pretty good, which we've heard in the past too, you know.
Yeah, man, you can ain't nothing better than a locating goose call. So.
It sure works.
My next on the list, I have four of them for you. I don't know if this is the actual name of this fellow, but this is what his name is in Patreon. Pewpaw asks, how do you decide if a gobbling turkey way off is worth the effort before you actually start moving towards him? How do you decide?
Well, if you hunt where I hunt and he gobbles, he's worth it.
That'd be my answer too.
Hey, let me tell you, I have, and this is hard to believe, but I have heard turkeys that gobble so far away that I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go try something different. Because, you know, there's a lot of things can happen, you know, that far away, and you know, maybe you can find another one closer or whatever, and ended up going back to that bird because I didn't find another one, and just calling as loud as I could and actually call that bird to me. And it was in a situation where I couldn't go to him. He had to come to me, and it was amazing. I couldn't believe he was gobbling at me to start with. You know, I'm like, you know, I can't believe he's actually hearing this trumpet. And he was. I mean, it was pretty wild. And he came to me. It took a long time. But, you know, like I say, he was the only game in town. So, you know, that's the one you got to go after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I do feel like if I was hunting, let's say, in an area that had really high turkey population and I was confident of that, I might would say a two gobble rule. You know, if he hits it twice, I'm in. One time, maybe not. But it's going to have to be a really good area for me to even implement that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you do get a lot of courtesy gobbles. I've had plenty of turkeys do that to me where they hit it once and you think, oh boy, we're in, and then you get up there with him or down there with him and never hear from him again.
Yeah, you kind of learn that in open places where you can see him and you see what's going on. I mean, he gobbles at you, but he has no interest in really coming to you.
Yeah, he's letting you know where he is, and he knows if you were a real hen, you could get within drumming distance of him pretty easy.
Exactly.
Or he's got of moorhens with him, and he's saying, hey, the party's over here.
Party's over here.
Right. I've had that many times.
No doubt. The last one I have, Mr. Tommy Rampley would like to ask you about which turkey gave you the hardest battle. He wants a good turkey story from you.
A good one.
Oh, man. You know, I've had a lot of those, and some I never won. I actually hunted a solid white turkey one time, and oh, wow. I never got him. I messed up. It was him and two regular gobblers, and the first time I saw him, I called to him, and they jumped on him and beat him up, and then they came running to me, and I killed one. And looking back, I wish I hadn't. I think I educated him, you know, and he would fly down in a clear cut, in the middle of this clear cut. And I did everything I could. I waited. There was a ditch all the way around that clear cut, and it was full of water. I crawled. I waded that ditch all the way around. I did everything I could. He would not come to me. He'd stay in the middle of that clear cut and gobble, and then he would fly up, and he would roost in a different place every time. So, you know, that's the one that kind of haunts me still, the solid white bird that I never got. But, I mean, I've had a lot of turkeys whip me over the years, and usually they get a name. And when they get a name, you know you got something there. It's usually a troubled bird when he's got a name.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you name the white one?
I just called him albino, but he
he was distinguished enough by his color.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dang, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, you mentioned using just a trumpet and a tube call, and that you can get a little bit more volume out of that tube, and you know, get a little bit more aggressive with the cuts. And do you feel like from a distance the cuts on the tube are a little more realistic sounding than the trumpet?
No, I don't think they're more realistic. I just think that they're a little more aggressive, a little louder, got a little more pop, you know, for long distance stuff. The one thing I can say is the trumpet and the tube call are the perfect match, because what one doesn't do, the other one does. And I used to, like I say, I used to just carry a trumpet, and all through my diaphragm years, I'd always gobble at turkeys when I needed to. And, you know, I decided that I just wasn't going to use a diaphragm or a box or anything. So, I kind of lost that ability to gobble. And, you know, I hunt a lot of private land, and I've had a lot of times where gobbling was the only thing. Now, I use that as a last resort, but I've said this many times that in the tube call, of course, gobbles like as good as anything. Mm-hmm. So it gives me the ability to gobble. And I've said many times that, you know, people say, man, I can't believe you gobble at turkeys. And I'm like, well, you're putting a male decoy out there. So you expect him to come running to a male decoy. And, you know, many times they do. So what I'm doing is just giving him the audio version of that. So, hey, if he sees a gobbler and he's going to run to it, there's a pretty good chance he's going to hear a gobbler and run to it. So I've had that happen before where nothing else would work and gobble. Chris Parrish and I did a hunt with Night and Hail years ago, and we had a bird and the only turkey we heard all morning. And it was my turn to shoot. And we were filming for the Night and Hail show. The bird just kept gobbling, and he was hung up, and we couldn't do anything with him. And we called and sat there, and I started gobbling at him, and he broke and came in, you know, wanting to fight. So it was the only thing we could do that seemed to work. And ever since then, I've used that if I needed to. It doesn't always work, the same as other calls, but you know, it might. So I always give it a try.
Yeah. I mean, if it works 1% of the time, it's worth trying before you leave.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, when I've gobbled at Tom's in the past, it's rare that I'll gobble at that turkey and not get a response. And, you know, 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 30 minutes later, however long, that turkey will gobble again in the same spot. You know, it just seems, yeah. And I've had it happen. So, you know, that's why I say it's rare. It just seems like it's the call, just like you said, it's last resort. It's the call that either brings them in or it runs them off, that they don't just stay where they are content doing what they were doing before. It evokes that fight or flight instinct most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll always do a Jake yelp first in that situation, you know, Jake yelp before I'll gobble. Of course, like I said, the gobble will be the last resort, but if a lot of times you can Jake yelp and it'll do the same thing, because they don't want the hen that you've been portraying to be, you know, that Jake to be in there with her. So that works sometimes too. But like I say, it, that doesn't work. And with the gobble, you know, it just might work. So every now and then I'll do it and have been successful. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
I agree with all that. I've only had gobbling I can think of work one time that I know of, and I did not kill the turkey, but it was really obvious for whatever reason he wasn't coming to hen talk, and when that got thrown at him, it flipped that switch. But for every one time it's worked, it's not worked about 50 times, but that I mean, I'm not going to try it on the next one.
Right.
That's everything. That's turkey hunting, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, that's part of it. And sometimes nothing works, and that's what makes it so special.
Yeah. If it worked every time, it'd get boring pretty fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I might disagree with that.
You just want to go, you just want to go kill one every day.
No, I don't. But you know, to be able to call one in every day and watch, that'd be pretty cool. But hey, no,
you figure out how to do that, and we will start killing them with blow dart trumpet calls.
Oh, see, that'd be fun.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Your season opens when? It's soon, isn't it? About
March 20th, isn't it? Or 26th? When is it? 24th?
I think. Yeah, 24th, I think. Yeah.
No, you're right. It's the 22nd.
Okay.
It's on a Friday,
yeah,
I believe.
Thinking that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you heard about or, you know, read up on the potential changes that are being recommended to y'all's board for seasons and bag limits and things? Well, have you read up on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm for the delay. I think that, you know, I see it every year. And I've been very fortunate enough to be managing property where I can see turkeys every day, and I can watch what's going on. I see how the mating season is progressing and the gobbling and all that stuff. And I think we're killing them too early here. I can't speak for other places, but I do think we're killing them too early here. I think that a lot of birds aren't getting bred. I think that there are places that may have, and I've hunted those places that may have one or two gobblers, and, you know, me and a buddy can go in there the first day and kill those two birds. And it's not, I just don't see a lot of birds moving in to take their place.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a good thing. And I think that people are a little nervous because they feel like they're missing out on the gobbling, you know, they'll be done. It'll be gobbled out. But I think you're going to find that a lot of the reason, you know, that you're not hearing gobbles later is, number one, dead turkeys don't gobble. And number two, you know, you've somewhat educated those birds and put pressure on them. So they're going to, you know, I think hunting them a little bit later, I think you're going to see, you're still going to have good gobbling. Some of the birds are going to already have bred those hens, and I think that it's going to be just as good. I've had some great hunts in May, and they gobbled like crazy. I think when those hens start nesting, they, you know, those hens fly down and they go straight to that nest, And those gobblers don't like that. They want what's been happening the last month to continue on, where they're wadded up and they go out there and get the strut, and that's not happening. And sometimes, man, you can just yelp to those birds one time and they come running.
That's true.
Yeah. And then I think also, are they reducing bag limit again to 2? Is that on the table? I can't remember all of the recommendations.
Yeah, they're going to proposing to go to 2 birds instead of 3. You know, we used to have 5, and then it went to 3, and now they're proposing 2. And hey, I'm not saying the reason the turkey numbers are down is because we're killing them early and we're killing too many. I'm saying there's something going on. We don't have as many. Let's cut back until we can figure this thing out. Let's try to stop the bleeding, so to speak. But you know, I'm not saying that any of those are the reason. I'm just saying something's going on. Let's be a little more conservative until, you know, maybe we can get the numbers up and try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. I just found it looks like their recommendations are going to be a April 10 statewide start date. They're going to reduce it to a 31-day season from April 10 to May 10. And then the bag limit will go from 3 to 2 with a daily limit of 1 is the recommendation.
Yeah.
So I will say Andy and I, so we had, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, on the show who was kind of, I guess, presenting all of that data. And it was a great show. And I really liked how South Carolina DNR went about it. They had a lot of public meetings, public comment. I felt like they very much so involved the public in the decision making before going forward with recommendations.
Absolutely. And I went to one of the meetings, and they showed the data that they've collected, and they've done a bunch of research, and you know, they did their homework, and they wanted the public support. And a lot of times, you know, without the information, a lot of times guys are, they feel like they're being limited and controlled and, you know, that kind of thing. But from what I understand, after the meetings and after the data was presented and everything, I think the majority of hunters, you know, most of them want the best for the turkey and the resource. And I think that they're pretty much in agreement for the most part. There's always guys that don't want to change or feels like that that's not the best answer. But I think they have a lot of support, and I'd like to see if it works. And I think that, you know, it's the right thing to do right now.
Yeah. It was Jay Cantrell. That's who we had on episode 449 for anybody listening who might be interested in hearing further about how they went about it with the surveys and all that stuff. Jay Cantrell. But, you know, that's kind of what you just said is what I got to. You know, Tennessee's where I live, and we pushed our season back to what feels like June 1st, but it's actually only April 13th. And it's a 2-week delay. You know, everyone's eager to get out and hunt turkeys because they know they're gobbling. I understand all that. We lost another turkey off the bag limit, and a lot of people are wanting them to go ahead and change it back. And they very well may before next year. But I sent my comments in. Nobody probably read them, and, you know, I don't blame them. But if they did, I just kind of said, y'all have already changed it. Let's see what happens for 3, 4, 5 years. You know, if things improve drastically, maybe we keep these in place.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You've already changed it. Let's see what happens. You know, 1 or 2 turkey seasons isn't going to be enough to really figure out if it did anything.
No. You know, you get one bad weather year, and it, you know, skews everything. So
it doesn't matter if anybody's out there shooting them or not.
Yeah. I mean, what you need is consistently, you know, 3 or 4 years that, you know, where you can get a little bit of good dry weather, some good, you know, hatches, and see if we can get on top of this thing. And I think that's the key. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. I just think we need to kind of try to see if we can reverse this thing and make it better.
Yeah. I don't know. I was kind of like, you know, y'all have already changed it. If there's any time to see if this solution works for us, it's now. You've already changed it. Let's give it 4 or 5 years. Have a little patience in us about it. See what happens. It's still a very long season and two birds is plenty, you know, but we'll see what happens here. And we'll be interested. Do you know when they will actually vote on that in South Carolina?
I'm not real sure. And I think that they got pretty good support right now. You know, there's a few that are, you know, still have some questions. And I've talked to some of the legislators and, you know, they make valid points. You know, predation is a problem. But, you know, we have to try to figure, you can't trap on your neighbor's land. And if your neighbor's not trapping, you know, yeah, then you're limited there. So there's just things that you can't control. I'm all for trapping. I think that predation is a serious problem with turkeys, and that's just another piece of the puzzle. I think we need to do everything we can, but let's start with us first and see if we can make a difference.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, you know, there's a lot to science that on the surface we say, hey, this makes sense. But then once these theories are tested and so on and so forth, it proves that, well, that's not the case because of whatever. But when you're looking at the early start date for seasons, you know, I see the thought process behind it in delaying those start dates because it gives those toms a chance to breed. And when we were in the heyday of turkey populations back in the 90s and early 2000s, well, it didn't matter if you took 2 or 3 turkeys off of 1,000 acres, when 2 or 3 toms off of 1,000 acres, when you had 10 toms on the 1,000 acres. But sure, Now populations are lower and you've got 2 toms on 1,000 acres, and you go and you take 2 toms off before they really get a chance to breed good. Well, I'm not real good at math, but that leaves no turkeys to breed, no toms to breed. So, and from what I understand, hen turkeys are perfectly, they have a desire to breed, but they're perfectly okay just going on day to day, just like it's November or July and not breed. So,
sure.
Sounds kind of like humans.
Well, you know, I think pretty much everybody agrees that predation is a problem, kind of going back to what we said. But, you know, and I know Jay Cantrell, we've had many conversations, and, you know, I support what they're trying to do, and they've gone about it the right way. But I told Jay, you know, hey, I'm a predator. So I'm one of the things that's out there trying to kill turkeys as well. And, you know, if I'm going to say predation's a problem, then I'm going to have to put me in there with it. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You know, we're so much more successful than we used to be.
Yeah.
Because we have more tools in the toolbox and more knowledge. And we're much more successful predators than we used to be. And so we got to take all that into consideration. But hey, I'm for anybody who wants to help the wild turkey, and I'm for anybody that, you know, wants to come up with ideas that are gonna, you know, do good. So I'm not against anything or saying that one thing is right, but, you know, we need to try something.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're in a lot better position now than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely 20 years ago, in the respect that we have so many more people studying wild turkeys today than we did, I think we probably ever have in the past. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We got a lot
and
of.
And you know what?
Doing it. So I think we're going in the right direction, but go ahead.
And we've also got a lot of people supporting those researchers, and a lot of people coming up with money and things that are helping. That, you know, Mossy Oak has been a big part of that as well, you know, trying to they did the stamps and all this other stuff. And, you know, I got to applaud those people that are doing that as well, because it takes a lot of money and time to do that research and equipment. So, you know, that's a big part of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree.
No doubt. National Wild Turkey Federation, Turkeys for Tomorrow. There's been a lot of money being poured into wild turkey research right now, because there's a lot of folks worried about them. That's a good thing. So, but sure. You know, like we've talked about here, you can't know if a solution works until you try it. So let's see if this works. These state delays. If it doesn't, okay. We just had to hunt 2 weeks later for a couple of years. It's not the end of the world.
That's right.
So. I know you love hunting South Carolina, and you have told us in the past on this show, you don't have a desire to go and chase a super slam or anything like that, but you do hunt out of state and do, you know, your charity hunts and pro staff hunts, that kind of thing. But where are you headed this year outside of South Carolina?
Oh, I'm not sure. there's a lot of options, you know. People are always wanting me to go places, and I hate flying and I don't like to travel. And like I say, I think I've told you before, I can get whipped by a turkey, you know, a mile from my house. I don't need to, you know, drive 10 hours to go get whipped by a turkey.
And, makes it extra painful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, that's a long ride home sometimes, but, you know, I'm hoping to get to go to Georgia and hunt with the KT team. I always enjoy that, getting out there with those folks and helping them. And I may go to North Carolina. I'm not sure. I mean, who knows? Sometimes you decide at the last minute you want to go somewhere. But I love hunting South Carolina birds. I just do. And, you know, we've got upland birds. We've got swamp birds. We've got so many different variables, and they're tough too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, the thought, Cameron, of being what, two and a half weeks away from your season opener and saying, you know, I don't know. I might go to North Carolina and I might go to Georgia.
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not, you know, actually relaxing and doing what getting back to our roots of why we even started turkey hunting, which was to relax and have a good time with it, you know, instead of just crazy.
I think a lot of people add a lot more pressure than they need to, and put pressure on themselves, and you know, it's supposed to be fun, and I just enjoy getting out there and interacting with birds and getting to call and watching somebody who's never killed a turkey kill one. And, you know, I can do that right here. And I like hunting with friends. I just enjoy that aspect of it, and taking kids and that kind of thing. You know, that's just what I enjoy. And that's just me.
There's a lot to be said for that.
Keep on keeping on with that. That all sounds good to me.
Yes, indeed.
No doubt. Well, Mark, I appreciate you hopping on here with us and answering some questions for us, for our listeners, talking about your home state there. And I definitely wish you the best this spring, wherever you might end up going. And hope it's a good one.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, the same to y'all. I always enjoy spending time with y'all and seeing you out and, you know, at Unicoi and in Nashville. We never get really much time to sit and talk. We're all going in different directions, but I know I get stretched out in Nashville. I don't get much time to talk to anybody, but it's still always a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I felt bad for bothering you after the Grand National Calling Championship. You're sitting there trying to get something to eat. It's probably the only food you had sitting in front of you over the course of 3 days. And here I come. I'm like, hey, Mark, we need to get you on have you on the show again for another interview.
Andy pops up out of the box next to him. Hey, want to interview?
No, it's all good, man. I you know, if there's anything I like better than eating, is talking about turkey. So
there you go.
Well, there's three of us on this call just like that. So, yeah, it's always good talking to you. You know, I've mentioned this the other day on the show. There's so many good people in the hunting industry, specifically turkey hunting, that, you know, just salt of the earth, good people willing to share and give all the information, all the knowledge they have. And, you know, you definitely are in that group of people, and that's to be admired. And I know Cameron and I respect you and appreciate you for that. And I know a lot of listeners love it when you join us. So we're happy to have you on the show anytime.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate that. And I listen to y'all all the time, enjoy your show, and appreciate what y'all are doing. Y'all are getting out information and helping the wild turkey too. So, you know, everything you're doing is great. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. Another good one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good stuff. And, you know, I think it seems like the last 4 or 6 guests we've had on, I've said something along the lines of, man, I wish that I could call like that guy.
Yeah, but we've been getting some powerhouses, you know, Matt Van Sice, Mark Prudhomme, Chad Claycomb. We've had some guys that could call on the show.
And we got a couple more sitting in the pipe waiting to.
Yeah.
To wait down.
Yeah, we've got some great ones coming up, and we might, little teaser, we might be releasing next week's show early if we're able to get it out. Just letting y'all know, if you see that it releases before Thursday, that is intentional. That will be next week's show, but assuming we're able to get it edited and out, we think it's important enough to get it out prior to Thursday, because that day is kind of important, and you'll see why when we do that. So. Yeah. Maybe be looking for next week's show on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as I say that, it'll probably come out in 2 weeks since we're traveling. And
yeah, it could.
We've been known to miss a little bit when we get off on the road. Turkeys start occupying the mind a little bit.
I know I've been known to miss days of church, birthday parties, Mother's Day.
Yeah, weddings.
Graduations, weddings, funerals, work, more work, a little more work.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that I do plan to miss because of turkey season is my funeral. So I will be in the woods turkey hunting the day that my funeral happens, and you guys will just have to carry on without me. But that's, yeah, we're likely to miss a podcast episode because of turkeys. If I'm going to miss church, you better believe I'm going to miss posting a podcast episode because of turkeys. But
hey, we haven't missed so far. We banked these episodes for this reason this spring. And right now we're on a great pace. We're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. We've done really well with that. And, you know, I think it's going to work out well. And I think maybe you and I ought to have a conversation about doing it again for this coming year.
I definitely think that could be potential, but. Yeah. We hope y'all enjoyed that podcast with Mark Prudhomme. You know, he's a great guy, been a great guest of ours. Always fun to have on the show. We've had some really good guests. Kenny Mount, Matt Van Sice, Winky Hicks was a hoot. Mark Prudhomme. I mean, it's just our guests lately have been awesome. So we hope y'all have enjoyed them all. And Denny Gulvis, I mean, those two were incredible. And if you haven't, you know, if you're just now joining us this year, just found the podcast, highly recommend going back, listening to maybe the past 10 episodes or so to catch up on some stuff, because there's some good information in those and plenty more to come.
Yeah. You know, I went back and re-listened to the Denny Gulvis episodes, and I will say that I picked up on a thing or two that I missed out on during the original conversation. So I'm glad I went back and listened to those.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very good.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff, man. I think we just, favor of the week maybe was in the intro. Go check out our Patreon. Go click that link in the notes, check it out. And if you're able and willing, we'd love to have you join us as a Patreon member.
I'll say this. When that 4 hours of audio content drops from our field trip from last week, if you listen to that and you don't learn something,
God,
then you're a biologist. Then,
yeah.
You know, you already know it all. So there's no reason for you to listen to the 4 hours. But for those of us average hunters, average turkey freaks, There's a lot of good information in there. I'm not going to say anything else about it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
It was one of the coolest, you know, as tough as that hunting was where we went, that was one of the cooler experiences I've gotten to do. So it's still well worth the trip.
Yeah. And you got some pictures from that trip. We ought to get
we need to post those
in Patreon as well.
Yeah. And then we can post the guy who put the picture of the bald eagle he shot on Facebook. And
jeez.
Oh, that was crazy. Oh, man. All right. I feel like that's a good one to wrap it up on.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We know that you have choices. We appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to the Turkey Hunter podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please go on over to iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And make sure to head over to www.iamturkeyhunting.com to subscribe for free turkey hunting tips, tactics, strategies, and product reviews to help you have a more successful turkey season. And stay tuned for upcoming episodes on hunting afternoon birds, how to film your hunt, and the breeding cycle of hens, as well as some guest interviews. Thanks again for listening. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you sharing some of it with us. See you next week.